Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and gather round all you who love her. Rejoice in gladness after having been in sorrow. Exult and be replenished with the consolation flowing from her motherly bosom. I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And now our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Rejoice, O Jerusalem, and gather round all you who love her. Rejoice in gladness after having been in sorrow. Exult and be replenished with the consolation flowing from her motherly bosom.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Welcome, everyone. Those who are joining us visiting, especially those who are here visiting for the baptisms after Mass, as well as those that continue to join us via the live stream. We are celebrating the fourth Sunday of Lent, our journey together and with the Lord. We know how important it is for us to open ourselves to hear more fully and to encounter more fully the Lord's presence and the presence of one another. We let the mercy of God permeate our very beings and our world. Gathering our prayers, let us pray. O God, who through your word reconciled the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, your Christian people may hasten towards the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Just a brief reminder as we enter into the readings. We've chosen this year to do what's called the Cycle A readings for last week, this week, and next week. They are particularly chosen for those who are journeying into the fullness of the church in baptism and confirmation at the Easter Vigil, but we've chosen to do them, and so there is a long gospel passage once again from John's gospel.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen my king from among his sons." As Jesse and his sons came to the sacrifice, Samuel looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not judge from his appearance or from his lofty stature, because I have rejected him. Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." In the same way, Jesse presented seven sons before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any one of these." Then Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" Jesse replied, "There is still the youngest, who is tending the sheep." Samuel said to Jesse, "Send for him. We will not begin the sacrificial banquet until he arrives here." Jesse sent and had the youngest man brought to them. He was ruddy, a youth handsome to behold and making a splendid appearance. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel, with the horn of oil in hand, anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. The word of the Lord.
Our responsorial psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want," may be found on your inside back cover of your hymnal.
The Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is the day. Night is coming when no one could do work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, it just looks like him." He said, "I am." And he said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, who is he? And he said, I don't know. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man once again, what do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He can speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age. Question him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He replied, if he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? They ridiculed him and said, you are that man's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered and said to them, this is what's so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, you were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us? And then they threw him out. When Jesus had heard this, that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him. The one speaking with you is he. He said, I do believe, Lord, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, surely we are not also blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see. so your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Why is it that when someone steals an hour, I feel more tired? You know, why is that, you know? It's like when, you know, you're really not hungry until you know you have to fast. You know, it's kind of like the similar reality there. Focusing on our journey together, what it means to be a church, a synodal church, open to the movement of the Spirit among us as God's people. In order to be more aware of that, not only do we need to be deeply rooted in the scriptures and the tradition of our church, but we also need to be in deep relationship and openness and listening to one another as a community. And so we're focusing on this journey together. And one of the reasons why we chose these readings, these long gospel passages that speak particularly towards those who are entering fully into the Catholic Church, we've chosen them for all of us because they really speak to what it means to journey together, what it means to be open to the power and the movement, the encounter of the Lord among us. And so we hear these long gospel passages. Last week, we got to hear the woman at the well, and there was the beautiful unfolding dialogue that happened between that woman and Jesus, who listened deeply, paid deeply attention to her. She grew in attention of him, and they had an incredible transforming encounter. She heard and listened, and Jesus heard and paid attention to her deepest longings, listening to her deeply in a non-judgmental way, which transformed her life. This week, I'd like to continue that similar theme of how important it is for us to listen deeply or pay attention to the persons that are in front of us and be open to the reality, the experience, the truth that they bring. So I had this privilege of going to a seminar provided by the diocese for clergy and a few others, and it was a seminar on deep listening. And during this deep listening seminar that was taught by sisters, these sisters who are from New York City, who work with inner city folks, those who are struggling with pregnancy, those who are struggling as young mothers, usually young single mothers, they shared that their ministry was transformed by learning to listen deeply to others and their experience. They actually said that their ministry was transformed by listening or paying attention to people back into life, so that they were not just sharing the dignity of all human life and forcing that truth upon people, but listening first to where someone was, what their experiences were like, what their truth was, and their struggles and joys were, so that they can open to a dialogue, to a deeper encounter with the Lord. And so paying attention or listening to people back into life. During that seminar, they shared what some of the greatest obstacles are to really paying attention or listening, deep listening to the person that is in front of you. And one of the biggest obstacles to really deeply paying attention and listening to someone is sharing your own story or your own truth, right? Now think about this. We've all been there, right? I started lifting weights last week. Oh, I lift weights every day, you know? Me and my family, we always get together. We like to do it. It's a social thing. We lift weights and then have a beer afterwards. You know, and then they go on into their story, right? Or, Can you believe the price of milk these days? I couldn't believe it. Oh, not just the price of milk, the price of orange juice. You know, I went, you know, and they just kind of go on, right. And you don't feel listened to, right? It's like someone trying to meet you and to share a similar experience. But sometimes when you share your own story so readily, it shuts off and closes down that really meeting or being able to be open to or pay attention to the other person. And brothers and sisters, when there is, I would call it a conflict of truth or conflict of value, the value and truth that I hold and maybe the value and truth that someone else holds, then it's even more challenging, right? I had a person a couple weeks ago come to me and say, Father Michael, that social teaching of the church is nothing but a liberal socialist agenda leading us towards communism. Now, if you want to insult what I hold dear, right, or my deepest values, or some of the truth, I mean, the social teaching of the church has saved my life. I believe it profoundly, right? It's the reason why, in many ways, it saved my vocation as well, why I'm a priest, right? And so you can imagine, once again, what my instinctive reaction would be in that situation. I want to correct them, right? I want to share the truth. I want to talk about my own experience. But that might not have been the best thing to do, right? Why is it that you believe that it's socialist and leading us towards communism? We hear this long gospel passage from John, and once again, like the woman at the well, we do have someone who deeply is able to slowly unfold and encounter and receive the presence of Christ, where he knows he's just a man who healed him, to a prophet, and finally to the Son of Man, and he worships. But really, what really is on central, or the story is about, the dialogue is about, is not so much the blind man's encounter and dialogue with Jesus, but what's much more showcased in this passage is the Pharisees and their obstinance, and that growing obstinance and blindness. And notice how it starts. This man is a sinner. First of all, the perception of the man born blind as a sinner. That was the Jewish understanding at the time, right? Secondly, Jesus himself must be a sinner. And why must he be a sinner? Because he didn't uphold the Sabbath. The law that says you cannot work on the Sabbath, and he made clay and healed the man's eyes with clay. And so what has happened is they do hold a truth. Right? The Sabbath and the truth that they hold, the holiness, the teachings that they know from their own faith is true and valid, but they use it and hold it in such a way so tight that they're not able to meet the blind person in front of them, nor to experience and encounter the Christ and the power of his saving life, mercy, and justice in the world, because they're so holding on to their own experience and their own truth and what they know, right? They didn't keep the Sabbath, for goodness sake. You know, they even get to the point where they say to the blind man, you, a sinner, right? Born totally in sin, are now trying to teach us. Well, no kidding, because you keep closing and closing and closing, right? Such beautiful blind man's courage, right? But we do it all the time as well, don't we? With one another, right? Quickly sharing our own experience, our own story, quickly correcting someone by the truth that we know and hold to be true or perceive to be true, right? Right? Man, I would love within a church community, a synodal church community, not to have to give this homily, right? I'd love not to have to sing this song, right? This song that says how important it is for us to continue to be open to one another and the power and the movement of the Spirit among us, God's people, in openness and dialogue. but I have to keep singing it. I'd rather be singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I was blind, but now I see. We together profess one faith. I'm going to ask three questions. Response to those three questions is, I do. Do you believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, crucified, died, buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith that we profess through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Trust in the presence of Jesus with us and our journey together. We offer these needs and petitions.
Our response this morning is, change our hearts, O Lord. For a deeper understanding of God's love and the gift of Jesus, we pray, change our hearts, O Lord. For the grace to choose to live in the light of Christ, we pray, change our hearts, O Lord. For the staff and volunteers of Catholic Relief Services who serve those in need around the world in our name, we pray. For the return of respect and kindness based on each person's value as a child of God, we pray. For the safety of all 89.3 million people forced to leave their homes due to war, famine, gangs, and the desire for freedom, we pray. For our beloved who have entered eternal life and those who have died this week, may they know the loving embrace of God. We pray. We remember Lena Kelly and all the intentions present on the altar, along with those we hold in the silence of our hearts. We pray. And calling on the loving intercession of our patron and mother, we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Please join in singing, You Who Save Me. It's on the inside back cover of your hymnal. It's a new hymn for you, so please join as you are able.
Thank you.
pray, sisters and brothers, my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and all his holy church.
We place before you with joy these offerings which bring eternal remedy, Lord, praying that we may both faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world. Through Christ our Lord, amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is right, just, our duty, our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ. By the mystery of the incarnation, he's led the human race that walked in darkness into the radiance of faith and has brought those born in slavery to ancient sin through the waters of regeneration to make them adopted children. Therefore, all creatures in heaven and on earth sing a new song of adoration. We, with all the host of angels, cry out and without end acclaim. Indeed, holy Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, sending down your Spirit on them like the dewfall, that they may become the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed, he entered willingly into his passion. He took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, again, giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, we celebrate the memory of his death and resurrection, and we offer you, Lord, the bread of life, the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to stand in your presence and to minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking in the body and the blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church. Spread throughout the world. Bring us to the fullness of charity, together with Francis, our Pope, David, our Bishop, all clergy, and all who serve and lead your people. Remember also all of our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. And have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, that we too may be co-heirs to eternal life, to praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, with him, in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Please rise as you're able. Trust in the kingdom of God among us, at the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray. Our Father,
Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us from evil, Lord. Grant peace in our day. By the help of your mercy, we may be freed from sin, protected from all anxiety, as we wait the joyful hope coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you." Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. Grant us peace and unity, in accordance with your will, for you live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other some sign of Christ's peace.
Thank you. May this incense in our lives that you have blessed rise up to you, O Lord. May your love and mercy come down upon us in our lives, our journey together. One of the burdens of being a leader is you have to celebrate yourself with others. Today is Deacon Frank's birthday. Pretty sure Deacon Frank's wife put them up to that. Remember, after Mass, there is the second Sunday social, and it is Irish-themed. So, soda bread, sorry, no beer. Let us pray. God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illuminate our hearts, we pray, with the splendor of your grace, that we would always ponder what is worthy and pleasing to your majesty and love you in all sincerity. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessings of Almighty God be upon you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Mass is ended. Go in peace. Glorify the Lord by your life. Thanks be to God.
Please join in singing our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 641 in your hymnal, 641. We'll sing verses 1 and 2.